Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Williams and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR. It's human resources, folks. So let's get to our guests. Chris Fields, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hey, thank you. I say this every time you invite me on, and I mean it. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for just doing what you guys do. It's a big thing what you guys do, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate being on every time you invite me, so thank you.
Well, good to hear your voice, and we're going to jump right into it. If you would, introduce yourself to our lovely family of listeners, and then we'll roll into some big questions.
All right. Well, I'm Chris Fields. I own and operate two websites, thecostofwork.com, which turned three this month, so happy anniversary to that. Also, the Resume Crusade. I also write for several other websites, and I'm a contributor to TIC, Performance I Create Crew. And today we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, and the SHRM conference season is getting ready to kick off, and that's going to be one of the things, and we'll talk more about the PIC crew when we do that. But that's who I am. I'm new_resource on Twitter, and I'm pretty much out there. Everybody who's listening probably have heard of me, hopefully. If not, you know, I'm all the way out there. So please connect. I love connecting with people, especially in this HR profession.
Well, fantastic, and do a heck of a good job of that. So let's jump into your world for a little bit here. What's kind of top of mind keeping you up at night these days as you think about HR?
Well, you know, right now, like I said, next week we got Louisiana SHRM, and that's been on my mind a lot. I get to meet a lot of great people there for the first time. I've been in the social community now for 3 years, and there are a lot of people I've met and some I haven't. So next week I'll get to cross a lot of those folks off my list. So I've really been looking forward to that. This year I'm also going to be speaking at a couple of other conferences for the first time, and that's exciting to me because I really don't want to suck. Like, I want it to be good, and I want it to be something that people can walk away from the session and use it in their business life and even for themselves. So that's going to be a bit of a challenge. So that, but in a broader spectrum, you know, I read a lot of stuff, and I look at a lot of stuff and try to pay attention to some of it. I can't pay attention to all of it, of course, because there's so much. But from the HR world, you know, I'm just kind of tired of everybody faking the funk. I wrote an article today. It's up on Cost of Work called I'm So Tired of Fluff. And basically the article is about how people are not being real when it comes to HR. You know, everybody's telling you to be bold, be brash, be brave, be all this, but they're not doing it. They're writing one thing. They're selling us one thing, but they're not being authentic. And it's kind of getting on my nerves a little bit because I understand protecting your company and protecting your image a little bit. I get that. But you can't tell me that there's not a way that you can talk about real HR concepts and real HR problems in a positive way without damaging your reputation. And if you're in a situation where you work someplace where you can't be authentic online and be yourself, that's a problem. And if you work for a place where you can't practice the type of HR that you're telling us about, then that's a problem. And it's kind of getting on my nerves a little bit, and I'm calling some people out. I'm not going to call by name, but you know who you are. Get real with this thing. It's time to talk about HR for real.
Okay. Well, let's dig into that a little bit deeper. When you, like, give me some, it can be, doesn't need to be specific, or it can be specific, I can't even talk, specific as you want, on what's an example of where somebody could have been real but wasn't. Let's dig into what you mean by that exactly.
I hear you. And basically what you can do right now is you can get on the Twitters and you can look at this stream of all these articles that everybody's telling you to read, and you can click on any one of them, and there you go. Because what you'll find in seven times out of ten, what you'll find is information about something that's just, you know, disconnected. Like when they write about it, it's this high-level HR inspirational crap, but it doesn't really tell you much. It doesn't give you much information. It doesn't really show you much. I mean, there's only a couple people who really, I feel, are being real. And I want people to understand, I'm not saying be negative. I'm not saying be nasty. But there are challenges in the HR profession that everyone deals with that they don't talk about. I know this because conversations with people, they talk about them, but they don't write about them. I know this because I know that being in HR is a difficult, can be a difficult thing. It's not for suckers, as one of my good friends always say. So I know that there are some meatier topics that can be discussed, but when I'm taking time to read these blog posts and these articles, many times they're not giving me anything that I think is groundbreaking, informative, or just different, you know. So, I think a lot of times we're just talking to each other about different things, and we're not really helping each other or lending some advice that can really be practiced.
Yeah, what are some off the top of your head? Do you have some examples of some folks that just are able to, I mean, they walk a good fine line of the balance of keeping it way real and, always constructive and positive around kind of how they write and how they communicate in the social medias?
Well, Brian, I didn't want to drop too many names today because I didn't bring a dump truck big enough for all the names, but I got a few names. Like, I really like Candy Kelly. Her blog is, I'm going to say it wrong, Esprit de Corps and .co, not .com, Esprit de Corps .co. And she really writes from a practitioner standpoint, but she gives you, like, situations, scenarios of things that she's worked on or used in her organization, which I think is great. I like blog posts that answer more questions than give you more questions to answer. And so she does a great job. There's a lot of people who, Neil Morrison over in England, he constantly questions, you know, certain processes and procedures and is pretty good. Ben Eubanks does a great job of helping young HR professionals navigate human resources. So there are a few, you know, but I just think that there could be a little more. And, you know, a lot of people are so conscious of trying to protect their organization or themselves even. Like, they don't want to really be transparent. Like, they want you to think they're transparent, but they're not. And it gets a little boring. And you can just tell. I mean, you can kind of read stuff and you can kind of tell.
Yeah, that's, you know, probably one of the absolute top of my list always is our buddy Jay Coons. God, he just does such a good job of, like, pushing people, my opinion, is just always, like, got to push the bounds, got to take, you know, you got to take chances. I mean, he writes, like I said, it's never, I don't think it's divisive. It's just like, look, as an industry, as a role, there are huge opportunities that you seize or you don't, right? And I just think he communicates that really, really well. And he's in a high-level position. He's in a highly regulated industry.
I was just going to say, for him to be a VP, and I believe he's a VP, so maybe he's president now, but But for him to be a VP and to blog daily and also, you know, talk about some of the initiatives going on at the hospital, you know, that's pretty cool. And I just think more people need to kind of dig into, hey, here's what I'm working on and here are the challenges and here's how I conquered it or here's how I used a different way to, you know, fix this or deal with this, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So, well, yeah, again, Neil Morrison, one of my favorite people in the world. I mean, he really gets, he definitely mixes it up on occasion. I read everything that he puts out, there's no doubt, because it's always insightfully and intellectually entertaining, so on many levels. So good guy. I've been able to hang out with him a few times. He's a former client and definitely somebody I consider a friend. Hell of a good guy, too.
We've dropped a lot of names already. We're not even halfway done with the show.
I know. We're just getting warmed up. Come on now. This is appetizers for name dropping. So we'll get there. So, last time we were at the club hanging out with Richard Branson, and he was mentioning, so you got to drop in King. So it's kind of irritating you at the moment. Good you're getting it out there. Good you're not letting it sit inside and, like, you know, get bigger than it should be, so you're writing about it. So is writing therapeutic for you? Let's talk a little bit about that. I'm always interested to ask people that question.
It is somewhat therapeutic because you do get to get things out. And then as a consultant, I'm not, you know, beholden to anybody, so I can talk about what I want to. But I take great pleasure and pride in the fact that just because I can say whatever I want, I still edit myself quite well. So I may talk about something that's frustrating me in HR or something that is different in HR, but I still try to be respectful and not try to, you know, F this and F that. That's just not my thing. But so it's therapeutic. But then I tell you what, it's pretty awesome to see how, as you write, how writing, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, and that's a true statement. How, as you write, your words can travel, you know, to a lot of different places and reach a lot of different people. I mean, I think sometimes in the social sphere that we're in, we think that we're covering, you know, everything, and really it's a small group with a small network. Even if you got hundreds of thousands of followers, there's millions upon millions of people in this country who have never heard of you, who have never, you know, seen or read anything you wrote. So it's a matter of trying to get, you know, your message to different audiences. And I'm very proud. You have been with me for a long time, and you were with me when I only had Cost of Work, and that was the only thing I was writing. And so now I'm writing at like four or five different sites in different areas of the country, which I'm blessed and honored and thankful of that. But it's not really about me. It's about the content and spreading, you know, a positive message for HR. Every time one of us does something big, it helps all of us. It helps show that social media is valuable. We've been talking, like, you guys especially have been talking about this for, you know, 5, 6 years, whatever. I'm 3 years. There's certain people who got bored and just left it because they got tired of dealing with it. But now people are starting to understand that social really isn't going anywhere, and they need to understand it. So to have good voices out here talking about things and being helpful, you know, that only pushes the agenda for everybody and helps everybody out. So I like to see when somebody gets a major article on a major news outlet or on a news program or something like that, or does something, you know, different in the space, because that means that there are more people who are coming over and winning over, and that's more opportunities that I could probably take advantage of in the future as well. So I love this thing that we're doing right now. We just got to keep making sure we're not mailing it in and giving people stuff that's not valuable. We need to make sure we're protecting the whole thing that we're trying to create here.
Well, and that's, you know, and it's fun because the you really, as long as you're consistent and are actually engaging with the community, community building is not that complicated, but it just takes a lot of work and hustle, right? That's
it
what,
does. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I mean, you got to be pretty much in it, especially if you're coming in now, because it's noisy, right? It's, if you were in, like I said, I got into the kind of the mix kind of full on in 2009. And so was kind of on the early onsets of really the HR side of the world coming into it and getting involved, which was, you know, it's different now. I mean, you have, like, oh, my gosh, 2014 is definitely a noisier place than 2009.
Yeah, and what I have to tell you, you have to do a quick reset real quick.
Nope, don't do it anymore. Dude, we've progressed. It's 2014.
What?
We don't do that stuff.
Sweet. Okay, so let's move on. But to speak to your point
and for
about
everybody,
the
real quick, everybody, Chris has actually guest hosted for us a few times to give props to that. We have a handful of folks that we trust in, you know, implicitly with our kingdom of drive-through HR because it's so important to us. So
yeah.
Chris, Dwayne Lane, Crystal Miller, all have. Our guest host for us when we're just get some issues with schedule. So anyway, thank you for doing that, by the way. And
we got to make sure we pay the bill. We got to make sure we pay the bill. But to speak to your point before I deviated off the reset, I really believe that the Olympics, the Summer Olympics of 2012, was a huge tipping point for social media. Like, it was already big, but I think that brought it to a whole new spectrum of people who hadn't really considered it, because if you did watch any of that, NBC did a pretty good job of using social and just showing the reach and the strength of social media. And I think since then it's truly been like, I think the initiator saw where things were changing and saw little, you know, hashtags and tweeting things, social things on certain commercials and TV shows and whatnot. But I believe the Olympics really boosted it and made it where a lot of people really started to get more involved into it. So I've noticed since those 2 years now that it's really just everywhere. I mean, commercials, reviews for stuff, you know, it's everywhere. And a lot of people are making careers out of having social media savviness. So it's where it is. And so it's a lot of noise, but you know, you can filter through it, some of it. I like to kind of sometimes on the weekends just look at people who I don't know and see, like, certain faces out there or certain names just tweeting things, and I'll click on them to see what they're writing about or if they're just sharing stuff from an automatic, you know, spam situation or whatever, and try to figure out who's real and who's not and what's new and what's happening in our space. Because that's how I got started. I mean, like you said, you don't gain a network by yourself. I remember when I had no followers and nobody was retweeting my stuff, and the aforementioned Mr. Jay Coons was the first person to ever give me a retweet, and I give him props for that all the time. And Steve Brown was another guy who was one of the first to actually just call me out of the blue and like, hey, I like what you're doing, keep going. And then I cannot forget my dear friend Dave Ryan. I mean, that guy would not allow me not to be his friend, and I thank him for that. He has a son down here in Memphis, and, you know, he just was like, hey, we need to hang out. We need to just hang out. I'm coming down there. Won't take no for an answer, and he didn't, and I'm all the better for it. So more names to put in our bag that we've dropped, but, yeah, you got to grow your network, and you got to connect, and I like to spend time connecting and kind of doing what those guys did for me, sharing.
Well, man, you definitely listed some folks that I also hold in high regard, and they are absolutely practitioners, no doubt about it. They're as busy as anybody. When you start talking Dave, Steve, and Jay, and every one of them bring a little bit different angle to the table, right, as far as how they do social, how they approach kind of their interactions, how they, you know, but they, all of them, are tried and true, executing on practitioner, strategic tactics, you name it, they're doing it. And so kind of to go down that. So that practitioner lane right there, where do you take conversations when people are throwing up the resistance of, there's just no way, I don't have time, I can't take it, you know, I can't take a chance, I don't see the value. So let's just, how do you go through those conversations when you run into somebody at a meeting or a conference and they just are like, I don't have the time, won't take the time, don't see the value in the time?
Well, it depends on the person, but whenever I hear somebody say I don't have time, what I really hear them saying is that it's not important to me. And things usually aren't important to people until they have to be important to them. But if I have someone who is willing to listen and, like, you know, sometimes people ask a question just to ask, like, why should I do that? But they really don't want to know. And sometimes people really want to know, like, you know, why is it important, or how is it, how does it work? You know, you can tell when somebody really wants to know more. And I feel like my story is the perfect story. If you can't relate to how social media is important from a business and an HR standpoint from my story, then you don't get it, and you won't get it, because, like I said earlier, just 3 years ago, I had been laid off, had no connections in HR down here, no connections with anybody. A friend of mine said blog. I started my blog, started connecting, and now, you know, 6,500 followers later and 2 websites later and, you know, several others that I write for, all of that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for social media. So you're looking from a guy who was basically not doing anything he liked to a guy who now does things that he loves every day, helps people, helps himself, and just have resurrected my career through social media. So if that's not a testament to you, if that doesn't make you feel like it's important, then I really, you know, I don't have much else to offer to you other than that, other than my story. So, you know, some of my close friends, they've seen it, and they're really, like, surprised. You know, they're like, oh, it seems like it was overnight, but it really wasn't. It was 3 years, and it's still growing, and we've still got a lot of work to do. I mean, I'm nowhere near some of the big top dogs in the group, but I think I'm getting there, so we just keep working at it. But if my story doesn't make someone realize how important it is, then nothing will.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So it's actually been a fun evolution of kind of seeing you navigate that, because it could definitely be the majority of HR's story, right? And so that's and has been for a lot of folks. And so, well, let's talk about somebody. Go ahead, fire away.
Yeah, I mean, we got Louisiana Sherm coming up in 6 days, April the 6th, and that's going to be huge. And I don't know if that's the first one of the season, but I think it kicks it off. So, like I said, I'm going to be in Oklahoma. I'm going to hang out with you in Tulsa, right? You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, Tulsa, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, and I think we're going to shoot a game of pool or something like that. You know, I challenged you on Instagram to a game of pool.
Yeah, we can. We'll figure that one out. I'm not. We'll definitely figure that one out. We'll definitely shoot some stick, no doubt.
So we got that, and then I got Missouri coming up in August. The great Christy Jones was nice enough to invite me there. I hadn't been there before, and I'm looking forward to that. And then my personal favorite, I have to say it's my personal favorite because it's Tennessee Sherman. We're going to be in Knoxville this year, and it's going to be fantastic. And the one thing I love about the conferences is, one, it does kind of test you a little bit, because you have to remember that a lot of the attendees may not be as socially savvy or up to it, and they may have questions like you just asked, like, why is it important? But I think they're getting better. I think the attendees are starting to come to the conferences wanting to know more about social media, and so I'm liking that. And of course, getting to, you know, see some of my favorite people that I'm connected to online, that's always a great thing. But, you know, giving back and staying connected, that's a big thing. I tell a lot of my resume clients all the time, like, you got to network to get work. I mean, you can't just expect that a job is going to fall out of the sky. So, you know, staying connected and social media and Sherm is a great way for me to stay connected to a lot of HR people just across the country. So I'm looking forward to Sherm conference season this year.
Well, yeah, and I think Louisiana, it's trying to think, the Louisiana or Arkansas are usually about the first ones kind of to kick it all off. So they're about the earliest. But those will be good. You'll definitely enjoy it. I'll see you, Missouri Sherm. We'll see you down there in August. And you've got great keynote in Louisiana. So you've got Jay Coons, who we're talking about, one of the keynotes. So he's going to crush it. I was there to see it. So, dude, he's just amazing speaker. He's just got that something. It's hard to kind of describe what the something is, but he's got the something. And I love hearing him talk. Love it.
We did a recruiter's corner, he and I. He was so nice enough to do a recruiter's corner with me and on my resumecrusade.com website. And it was a fantastic conversation. And, you know, I just really was drawn to the guy. I can't wait to meet him next week. So it's going to be awesome, too. Yeah.
That's right. I just forget that people haven't met other people, right? So,
yeah, it seems like it should have happened by now, and it should have happened. You know, it's only a couple people who won't be at Louisiana that I won't meet in Louisiana that I still want to really meet. But yeah, you would think that a lot of this is gone. I saw where I think Stacey Zoper, I hope I said her name right, LinkedIn. There you go. Thank you. Hadn't met William Tinkup yet, which I thought that was amazing. I was like, really? I would have thought they would have crossed paths by now.
Yeah, it's. I think it must be Stacey actually. So because I had not met, she's been a little elusive, and I had not met her either until probably 6-7 months ago. So, or maybe a year ago. I don't know. Time flies. So, but yeah, those are out there. Man, when those things happen, I remember the first place that I met Jay. Right, it was in Atlanta at a conference, and he was on my list. I'm like, that's somebody I've got to meet in real life, and has not disappointed, and definitely one of the folks that when I get a chance to talk to, but I'll never forget that because he was at the top of the list, and he just has kind of an interesting and really truly genuine energy to him, and so it always fun, never disappoint. So, well, we literally have about 3 minutes left. So, what are some thoughts, right? You're a resume guy. So somebody today, what's one thing they can look at a resume when a candidate comes in and it will help them out? Blue ocean on this, whatever you got.
Well, you know, I just think most of them look bad. Like they have bad formats and they're not attractive. You know, I think most resumes, that's where I feel like I make a bigger difference than most other resume writers. I try to be a little bit creative with the process and make it look visually attractive to make you want to read it. So I think most resumes just are ugly and then they're no good. And so I just try to make them look better and then read better and feel better and inject a little bit of the person's personality into the resume as well, so you kind of get to know an ideal about what they're trying to do, bring some transparency to the situation. But, you know, it's kind of hard. I mean, you know, I just wish people would see the traditional hiring processes have killed creativity in the resume game. So, you know, you can't have a really creative resume unless you really know your industry. So for most professionals, you can't be too creative because somebody who might look at that, it might rub them the wrong way and they might throw you to the side because they don't get it or they don't want to take time to maybe look at a different area for your skills or your education. They want to see it at the top or the bottom. There's a certain flow that most recruiters and hiring managers want to see a resume, unless you're in a creative industry or a area where you know your resume is not going to hit an ATS or some person who's just screening it to screen you in or out. So that part of it kind of kills the creativity part. So you can't really be, you know, too creative. Then you don't want to be gimmicky. You don't want to be one of these people like, look what this person put on their resume and it gets passed around the office as a joke. So it's just a fine line. And until we get some of this old blood out of the game and some new people who want to see creativity. We say we want creative people in our workforce, but when their resumes reflect too much creativity, we're turned off by it. So that's another one of those pet peeve things that kind of get on my nerves about HR. We say one thing, but we actually want something else. So with resumes, I just say, you know, if you see a QR code, don't throw it out just because you see a QR code on there. It might be this person is trying to show a little bit of creativity. If you see a LinkedIn logo or a Twitter logo on a resume, don't automatically think this person is, you know, a bad person and throw them out. It just means they have a social identity. If they put it on their resume, hopefully they put it on there because they have a professional profile and they want you to look at them. So just don't be so dismissive about things you don't know about or you haven't seen before on a resume. You know, allow your mind to, you know, accept new things in the resume writing game. And really you can take that and apply it to just about everything.
Well, right on, man. Well, and folks, just get about 10 seconds. So, folks, one more time where they can connect with you, and we are out.
New_resource on Twitter, Christopher Fields on LinkedIn, resumecrusade.com, costawork.com. I'm all over the place, y'all, everywhere.
Right on, my man. We are out of ears. Later.
It might seem crazy. Bitch, what I'm about to say.